views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant Powerful Moms, a podcast focused on helping you remember who you really are, so you can realign with that vibrant energy while still enjoying a human experience. I know it sounds a little bizarre, but mostly it's just great info. Today we're going to talk about the F word, feelings. It's interesting that feelings are the brunt of so many jokes, like only some of us have them, or that they're optional in life. Feelings are a very important part of being human, and processing them is a huge part of living a healthy and happy life. This is an important topic to be aware of because if you've been taught to bury, ignore, negatively feed, or reject your feelings, you have a very good chance of becoming ill, sabotaging your relationships, losing your self-control, or draining your power. Think about what you've been taught about feelings. For example, when you were young, maybe even now, if you were sad, you might have been told to chin up, toughen up, focus on the positives, distract yourself with happier thoughts. When you were mad, you might have been told, smarten up. You're bad. Don't be mad. Focus on your breath. Calm down. Let it go. Now, we're told some of these things for good reason. Dwelling on our sadness and adding to it by coming up with all the things we feel entitled to be sad about can make us miserable and no fun to be around. As well, allowing our anger to grow to a point of rage and letting it control our behavior can definitely result in problems for us and for others. The missing piece, though, is that it is really our thoughts and not our feelings that are the problem in this situation. And in the end, it is only our behavior that gets us into trouble. Our feelings are signals. They're meant to suggest that we check things out further before moving on. Ignoring or stuffing the signal is much like taking the battery out of the smoke alarm without checking why it's going off in the first place. If you deal with the cause, the smoke detector will stop on its own. It is our negative thoughts that take these signals and turn them into a full-scale alarm. This is unhealthy as it creates many overreactions, hurt feelings, and problems in a person's life. The feeling of anger is seen as the problem, which is like blaming the burned building on the smoke detector. Taking the battery out of the alarm defeats the whole purpose of having one. Letting it wail all the time doesn't work well either. Learning how to recognize your feelings and process them in a healthy, effective way is beneficial to all of us. So where do you start? Well, here's one fun idea. Begin by noticing your feelings and searching for different words to describe them. For example, when someone asks you how you're feeling, you likely have a standard response, such as fine, great, good, tired, all right. Take a moment and think about what are your most common answers. To play the game, you want to start digging deeper than that. If you really are fine, good, or all right, then you might respond with content, relaxed, grounded, satisfied, balanced, mediocre. If you're great, You could use fabulous, awesome, empowered, strong, enlightened, eager, excited. I'll post a list that you can get off of my site of different feeling words. So if you don't have many in your vocabulary, you can start finding new ones that suit you. My only rule is that you don't feel limited by the list. The point is to start taking stock of your feelings so that you're really noticing them, rather than just going on autopilot and giving an answer that people expect. If you choose to take on this challenge, let's say for just a week or two, try to use a different feeling word every time you respond to this question. You'll be amazed at how people tune into you and the kinds of conversations that it starts. Imagine if you ask someone, "So how are you doing?" And they say, "I'm satisfied." "Did you say you're satisfied? Why? What were you up to last night?" Now that person could respond with more banter, like, "Wouldn't you like to know?" They could give more details. "Actually, I'm satisfied because I finished my paper last night for my course and today is the deadline. What a relief." Or they could even give you a brush off. "You know what? You asked, I answered, but right now I don't think I want to share any more than just that." You can also use this tool with your kids as a way to expand their feeling vocabulary, help them tune into their feelings, and get real fun conversations going around the dinner table. To do this, you'll want to come up with some kind of a common lead that works for you and your family. It might be something like, "So, where are you at today?" Be very careful to respect when a person doesn't want to elaborate on their feelings further. Even if your son just told you that he's depressed, responding with shock and interrogating him, "Depressed? Why? What happened? I can't believe this is the first I'm hearing about this." That kind of a response can shut him down completely and tell him that you are not a safe person to share feelings with. Instead, take it in stride as best you can and maybe clarify a little. "Ooh, that doesn't feel very nice. Are you saying you're sad, like your spark has gone out? Or are you saying something else?" It's very possible that your son has heard that word and now is trying it out. He could also be getting it confused with another word, like maybe disappointed. Or he could be checking to see if you respond the same way the teacher did at school when Brittany said it. By clarifying like this, you help him understand the term depressed. You make it easier for him to explore, and you open the door for future feeling discussions. Try to refrain from any kind of closed-door reaction, including challenges like, "Do you even know what that word means?" Finally, you can also use this as a way to explore and connect with other people. "You say you're fine, but you look a little, I don't know, maybe disappointed. Did something happen?" Obviously, if they say no, you let it drop. Although you can do that while still leaving the door open. "Fair enough. I apologize if it sounds like I'm snooping. I'm not. I was just concerned. Let me know if you want to talk more later." You'll find that just by noticing your own feelings, digging deeper for meaning, that many of them will release on their own. In other words, you're processing them just by calling them by name. When you say you're fine, when in reality you feel disappointed, you're stuffing the feeling. But when you say, "I'm kind of disappointed, but give me time and I'll get over it," you honor the feeling and allow it to flow. Now, a little note about that one. It's perfectly fair to say something like, "I'm kind of disappointed right now, but I'm not ready to talk about it yet. I'll let you know when I am." You might also say, "I'm kind of disappointed, but I feel really vulnerable right now talking to you about it." When we bury our feelings or pretend they don't exist, we do not process them. This can result in problems later when the burial site gets too full and these past feelings begin to resurface. I used to teach this to kids using a cup of water and reading a story of an average emotional day. As a group, we would identify any time the hero of the story stuffs a feeling, and we'd add water into the cup. I didn't stop adding water when the cup was full, so the water would begin spilling onto the floor. This was always a riot because it was always a student holding the cup. The kids are quick to catch on that the cup can only hold so much water, and if you try to overfill it, a mess will result. When we carry around old, unprocessed emotions, we greatly increase the odds of overflowing. Did you know that the most commonly stuffed feelings are the uncomfortable ones like nervousness, fear, embarrassment, hurt, surprise, humiliation, disappointment, frustration? We do this by shifting immediately to anger rather than allowing the real feeling to be expressed. Think about a time when you were embarrassed or surprised, you know, like when you walk around a corner and someone's there and goes boo and they scare you. And instead of saying, oh my gosh, you scared me, oh, you might say to them, what, you almost made me spill my tea, don't do that. You get angry, you stuff it. Feelings signal to us that something might be wrong so that we can investigate and deal with it accordingly. Unfortunately, many of us react to the discomfort of the feeling and add some negative thoughts, increasing their intensity and ensuring that they stick with that memory forever. So what can we do instead? Well, here's one way to process your feelings. The first step is when a feeling arises, notice it without trying to stop it. Your goal is to become the interested observer. Now, since the brain is on, whether we want it to be or not, take control of your conscious thoughts and direct them. I feel sad. Where is that coming from? Or, uh-oh, I'm embarrassed because I didn't know the answer and now I'm covering it up by getting angry. When a thought arises in response to this question or thought, search for inaccuracies. So, I feel sad. Where is that coming from? I'm sad because I'm always left out of things. I'm always is an overgeneralization, and any time an overgeneralization comes up, you know you have faulty thinking. With the other example, your thought might be, he asked me that question on purpose because he knew I wouldn't know the answer. He's trying to embarrass me. If your thought is faulty, make an immediate correction. For example, okay, I'm not always left out, but I sure feel left out this time. Or, in the other situation, ego, sit. It's okay to make a mistake. Isn't that what I'm always telling the kids? Watch out for the temptation to feed the feeling instead. I always get left out of things. People don't like me. It's not fair. Why am I always excluded? Or, how dare he set me up? He's such a jerk. Step number two, when you say the thoughts aloud and they hurt, but are no longer faulty, or they never were faulty, like for example, I'm sad because my dog died, or, okay, so he was trying to set me up, that hurts. Let your thoughts subside and focus your attention on the feeling. The easiest way to do this is to notice where you feel the emotion in your body, and if it's possible, put your hand there. Relax by taking a few deep breaths to quiet your mind, and if any thoughts arise, just let them sail on by. Often, just doing this will allow the feeling to release. Other times, you might need to draw attention to that feeling. Say in your mind, embarrassment, I feel you. I recognize you being there. That's it. Still other times, you might need to deal with what has come up. Todd, I feel like you knew I didn't know that answer and you purposely asked me to make me look bad. Was that your intention? In this case, you now have a real conversation with this person about what's going on. It might not be a pleasant one. It might have been his intention. But the point is, at least you're fully dealing with the feelings rather than suppressing them. In still other situations, that feeling might be strongly linked with other situations where that feeling arose, which means that you have a block or a pattern forming. Now, I'm going to share one of my patterns with you in a moment, but for now, let's just say that blocks and patterns take a little more work to release. Noticing them is a first giant step towards fixing that, but removing them can really change your life forever, so it's worth it to recognize them. In some instances, a feeling may keep reappearing. Like, for example, when you're grieving and you're going through the healing process, you'll find that similar feelings will keep coming up. Rather than judge them or bemoan the fact that you seem to be right back where you started, recognize them as part of the journey, and you'll find that they just flow much more easily. Alternatively, when you've been blocking your feelings and now you allow them to flow, as soon as you deal with one feeling, another old block one might arise. When this happens, it's not failure, but a cleansing that is long overdue. One of the patterns I uncovered in my life involved my husband and housework. Throughout our marriage, we shared a lot of the cleaning responsibilities, which I am truly grateful for. But there was no doubt that the way he looked at cleaning and the way I viewed it were two very different things. Somewhere along the line, I started to feel resentful that he would go in and clean a room in 10 minutes and label it done. I would spend at least 45 minutes in the same room, not because I'm super slow, but because I'd put things away that shouldn't be there. I'd clean into every corner and I'd leave the room spotless. In both situations, the room looked and smelled great. It's just, I like the deeper cleaning. The other thing that started to bother me was that I often had to ask him to do any extra cleaning, and that really sat badly with me. Or I'd have to work around him while he sat relaxing on the couch. Now, please remember, this is how I was viewing things. It's not necessarily what you would see if our home was on reality TV. The pattern over time was that it had become automatic when I would start to clean, that as soon as I noticed my husband sitting down or going outside to do something else or maybe not participating in the cleaning, I would get this small surge of anger. With that, my inner critic would pipe up and start a conversation that went something like this: "Great, guess I'm on my own while he just relaxes. I'm not the only one who made this mess. I'm always cleaning up the messes. I could ask for help, but he won't do a good enough job anyway." Now, as you can guess, this kind of thinking only intensified my anger, making my actions harsher, you know, more clipped, and sometimes resulting in me breaking things accidentally, which only made me angrier. And on it went. When I became aware of my inner critic, I started consciously choosing to stop this conversation. But I found that that was much harder to do than I expected. Now my inner dialogue sounded something like, "Great, guess I'm on my own. Stop it. You know he does a lot around here." "True, but look at the mirror. He just finished cleaning the bathroom and there's a big smear down it. Guess I have to do everything myself." "Quiet. I'm grateful he helped out. Plus, sometimes I miss things too." Suddenly, I'd realize that instead of stopping the dialogue, now I was just arguing with myself. I needed to change my tactics, and thankfully, I have tools to do that. Several years ago, I took one of Tony Robbins' programs, and in it, he talked about scratching the record when you feel yourself slipping into a pattern. In his example, he threw a glass of water in the woman's face right in the middle of an event to stop the pattern. Now, thankfully, he says that you can do it with anything that snaps you out of where you are headed and allows you to reset. So I decided not to be quite so upfront about it. In my case, I started scratching the record with singing, dancing, turning up the music, sometimes asking for help. I would start laughing about things, create a gratitude list in my mind while I was working. Believe it or not, the pattern still tries to surface sometimes. I have not yet damaged it enough to make it skip in a reliable way, but now I'm fully aware of it, and the moment I start down that path, I notice and correct it. One of the things that really helped me identify this as a pattern rather than a relationship issue was when I tried to think about what I would ask my husband to do rather than sitting there. In most cases, he had already done what needed to be done by him, and there was nothing more for him to do. If I did need his help, I knew I could ask him for it, like, would you mind taking these things downstairs, or could you take this pile of stuff out to the garage the next time you go out? But in this case, the things that were left were things that only mattered to me, like digging the dirt out of the corners. If you think this is happening to you, i.e. you seem to be bothered by the same thing over and over again, you have created a pattern, and the fact that you are becoming aware of it means it's time to let it go. I can help you with that if you like, or you can try it on your own using information that I just shared or stuff that you find on the internet. Whatever you decide, remember, your goal is to release the emotion, not feed it, stuff it, ignore it, or talk yourself out of it. Feelings are signals. They make us human and they help us create an incredible life experience. So become aware of your emotions and enjoy the contentment that comes with letting feelings flow rather than grow. With much respect for you and the journey you were on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. If you haven't been practicing active listening or are getting into some bad habits, it's a good idea to go back to the basics and remind yourself how to be a good listener. Here's an idea that might help. When your child comes to you with a story about her day, set aside whatever you're doing and give her your full attention. If you're in the middle of something that can't be put aside, tell her that you really want to be able to give her story your full attention and ask if you could continue the conversation at a specific time. So for example, this sounds like an important story and I'd really like to give it my full attention. Can we talk about it in 10 minutes when supper's in the oven? Active listening might sound like common sense, but often it's these simple skills that get buried in our parenting pack and easily forgotten or overlooked. Challenge yourself to practice this skill for a full week and see if you notice a difference in how much your child is sharing.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.